Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From high atop the ice surface at MTS Center, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Drew Mandel alongside Richard Pollock. Michael Remus is producing this fine program. And Richard, in a game that the Winnipeg Jets dominated on the shot clock, 46-22, they dominated in terms of the play on the ice. They were very close to taking an unforgivable loss to the Edmonton Oilers, instead squeaking out a 5-4 shootout victory over the Oilers here at the MTS Center tonight.
Yeah, Drew, that was a sloppy game overall. The Jets didn't take advantage of all of their opportunities. I thought that they allowed the Oilers to hang in the game. You know, they outshot them and all that, but it was just not a great performance. You know, you get the 2 points, and that's fine. And you know, it might hurt you for tiebreaker purposes, but you're in a pretty good position right now, points wise. And as of the broadcast, as of you know, taping this broadcast, you know, some of the teams that are chasing them. Like LA is losing, so and you know things like that. But overall, I mean, the Edmonton team is awful, right? This is, and I'm not overstating it here. This team's terrible.
Yeah,
their defense is horrid. Their offense after the first line, well, aside from Yakupov, so four guys is
and they were without Taylor Hall tonight. So you're talking, yeah,
yeah, right. So I mean, even including Teddy Purcell in there, who certainly isn't noticeable at all. And Victor Fast, I thought, played fine and played really solid considering how much action there was. I mean, a little bit out of position at times, but no help. And no. So you go into a game like that, and my concern if I'm Paul Maurice is bad habits kick in. And you mentioned during the game, you know, get a couple practices in here, which is a good thing, I think, for the team. But, you know, Edmonton doesn't make you fight for any pucks.
Yeah.
Edmonton doesn't make you do anything that you don't want to do. It's a simple game. Going for the forecheck, nobody hits you. You can go in the middle, nobody hits you. Do whatever you want against this Oilers team. So you shouldn't be getting in a position where you're fighting them tooth and nail for points at the end and taking a coin flip. And in reality, I mean, Justin Schultz's chance at the end of overtime, you could have lost that game.
Yeah.
And if you don't get a goal at the end of regulation, you don't win that game. So sloppy overall. But you get the 2 points. And the difference between, I think, Jets last year and this year is that Jets play like this last year. They don't get the 2 points this year. And again, not that they played poorly. They played well. But considering who they're playing in the situation, you want to take care of business earlier
sure.
rather than
you want
than
to do what Ottawa did to the Oilers on Saturday, which beat them 7-2 or something like that.
And I've seen a few games this year where teams have done that to the Oilers,
yeah.
So Ottawa's not on its own there.
No, and I thought, to be honest, the Jets were going to start the game that way. They opened the scoring tonight, 7:46 mark of the first period. It's Brian Little, his 22nd of the year on the power play. Assist to Toby Enstrom and Blake Wheeler. It's almost a 5-on-3 as Brendan Pouliot. Brendan Leipzig, obviously. Benoit Pouliot breaks his stick on this play. So he's without a stick, and it's almost a quasi 5-on-3 power play for the Jets. Pass comes across, it ends up loose in the zone, and Little jumps on it.
Yeah, well, you know, what happens there, Drew, is you got Bufflin, you're playing your umbrella 1-3-1. Bufflin's at the top of the blue line, makes the pass over to Wheeler to his left. So to Bufflin's left is to Wheeler on his off wing. Wheeler makes a pass over to Enstrom. And this is a difficult pass in the usual course because it's a cross-seam pass. As you mentioned, Benoit Pouliot's without a stick. So Pouliot is the top left side penalty killer. Doesn't get in the way of that pass with his stick because he doesn't have one.
Yeah.
And Enstrom, who's filling in for Perreault, who got injured before that, which we'll talk about, but Enstrom doesn't usually play that kind of right side of Bufflin on that top unit. He receives the pass, puts it on net, and once he puts it on net, you had Klefblom and Mark Fain, I always mix those two up. You had Klefblom and Mark Fain, who had been on the ice for a long time,
yeah.
And the rebound came out, and they were just dogged. They were just dog tired, and they didn't get there in time. Little comes in, 1-0.
That's right. Let's talk about the Matthew Perreault injury. He left early in the first period, within the first probably 5 minutes or so of this game. Took a big hit, immediately headed to the dressing room. Putting very little weight, if any at all, on what looked to be his knee, a leg injury of some sort. We never saw him for the rest of the game. If he's out for any period of time, how significant for the Jets? Obviously, very, but you know, truly, how significant?
For a couple reasons. First reason is you have the power play, right?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, the first reason. He's really been the key to getting the power play going. Now, Enstrom, I thought, looked pretty good on that side. I would probably keep him there under the same format they've been using.
Same 1-3-1 umbrella system.
Yeah, to keep that going. But otherwise, it's a big loss. I mean, Mark Scheifele's not as effective without Matthew Perreault. I mean, trying to get Drew Stafford in the mix, which we'll talk about his injury as well. But, yeah, I mean, and the truth is, Drew, if there's any position they can't afford to lose a guy, it's probably left wing,
yeah.
Right? Because left wing, third line left wing is already Thorburn.
tweet coming in from Ken Weeb of the Winnipeg Sun, Matthew Perreault leaving the rink in a walking boot.
So we don't know what that means.
Don't know what that means, obviously. Yeah. We'll find out more tomorrow.
It could be a snow boot. No, I'm kidding. But a walking boot, lots of guys wear walking boots between, you know, between injuries and, you know, a game or two after a game. So we'll see. Not that I'm not saying every guy, but I'm saying, like, guys with injuries do leave with walking boots and possibly play, you know, a week later, a couple days later.
Sure. Well, and we saw, you know, you're not a doctor, but we saw that, you know, when Matthew Kaprow got cross-checked by Daniel Carcillo, it looked like his arm was broken and he ended up only missing a couple of games.
Yes.
So hopefully, you know, he's got a decent track record when it comes to injuries. We'll obviously monitor that and bring you the latest when we have that piece of information.
Do you have a decent track record when it comes to injuries?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I really made that up.
What is a decent track record when it comes to injuries?
Well, I don't know how many games he's missed. How many games has he missed by injury?
He's a small guy. I'm sure he missed a few.
Okay. But not
if Remus was working hard, he'd be checking right now.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Remus.
Your phone doesn't have internet either, Remus.
The Oilers tie it up at the 13:49 mark of the first period. Niall Yakupov, his seventh of the year, assisted Derek Roy and Andrew Ferentz. Talk about the goal and talk about Niall Yakupov's game tonight.
Oh, he's terrific. I thought he was the best Oiler by far. And you know, you can have issues with Niall Yakupov, and I hear those issues. I like the positive parts of his game. Great skater, great shot, dangerous in with very little space, and dangerous when you maybe think he's having an ineffective game. Remember who he's playing beside. He's playing with Derek Roy waivers a couple weeks ago, a month or two ago, whenever it was. So you know, don't give up on that guy. Don't give up on that guy. In this play, Ferentz passed to Roy in the neutral zone. Andrew Ladd, part of the neutral zone forecheck that they have, gets caught flat-footed. So they're able to get around Ladd. Roy makes the pass to Yakupov, who plays off wing, similar to a lot of Russian players, and they learn how to play, you know, left-handed shooting guy on the right side. And while it's a 3-on-2, Bencherov gets burnt by Yakupov. Great speed, great acceleration. He goes right around, short side goal on Hutchinson, blocker on Hutchinson, of course, and because he's a lefty, and it's 1-1.
Matthew Perreault missed 13 games last year for the Anaheim Ducks, and the year before that he missed 9 games during the lockout shortened season. Yeah. In any event, moving on. 1-1 for the Oilers. Pardon me, 1-1 at that point in
time. Remus could be stat boy here if you wanted to engage.
Then we'd have to give him a microphone, and none of us want that. 2-1 Oilers. You know, they make it 2-1 on the power play at the 15:19 mark of the first period. It's Lander with his fourth of the year, assist to Jordan Eberle and Justin Schultz. And this is sort of the perils of fronting when you're a defenseman here.
It is, yeah. You know, a good puck movement by the Oilers on that. I'm surprised their power play is that bad. But and Nugent Hopkins on the half boards on the right side makes a nice play, passes it up to Schultz, who walks the line real nice here. Gets the puck over to Eberle, who puts it over to Lander all in front. Now, you mentioned the Jets did get chasing a bit on Nugent Hopkins there. But you mentioned it's Trouba and Stewart are both fronting for a shot, meaning going in front of the guy who's standing in front.
Going for the block. Yeah.
And what happened was there is you know, they both go in front, and who's behind? Anton Lander's sitting there waiting for the puck. So you want to make sure you clear the front. And Anton Lander's not a big guy. And you should be able to take care of him. So that was a miscoverage. Jacob Trouba hasn't been very good the past two games, or three games even. And you know, if you listen to the show, I think he's a tremendous player. But he hasn't been, and maybe since the Bogosian trade, I don't know if that has any issue at all. I think they were buddies, but he's been a little bit sloppy, Drew. And just a little bit uncharacteristic in terms of some of the mistakes he's been making. So, that was not a great goal for the Jets there.
After 20 minutes, the shots on goal were 16-6 in favor of the Jets, but the score was 2-1 for the Oilers. So the Jets knew they needed to bounce back. Brian Little took care of that at the 8:16 mark of the second. It's his 23rd of the season, second of the night, assist to Ben Chiarot. And this is really Chiarot's play. He starts with the puck behind his own net, takes it all the way up the left-hand side, and does his magic from there.
Goes up the left-hand side against Jeff Petrie. Petrie lets him go by. Not played particularly well. Chiarot showing him some nice skating ability there on his left side, strong side. Goes around, goes down the boards, and Petrie gets beat by him. So Petrie's got to recover and cover Brian Little. Not only does he get beat wide by Chiarot, who now gets he gets help from the forward back-checking, who switches off of him. But Petrie then goes to Little, who is the guy he's switching on to. Doesn't get there in time. Little, beautiful shot.
Yeah. Far post in off, and it's 2-1.
Little's been great.
Yeah. Of course, 23 goals on the year for Brian Little. Certainly his career high is in target this season. 2-all at that point in time. Oilers, again, jump out, make it a 3-2 game at the 108 mark of the third period. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets his 15th of the year, assisted Jeff Petrie and Jordan Eberle.
So, you know,
terrible line change.
That's what it is, and I don't know exactly whose fault it was. I know that Nugent-Hopkins splits for a league in Enstrom. I don't know who popped on, and we couldn't really see it on the replay, so there's probably people at home who have a PBR and were able to see that. But just bad line change, blame it on the bench, blame it on certain players. Don't know who it is particularly. Nice pass by Petrie, and people talking about the great pass. It is a great pass. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, come on. You got Nugent-Hopkins streaking through the middle. Most NHL defensemen can make that pass. You don't want to have a terrible line change like that when you don't want to go on a line change when the other opposing team's defenseman has it at the top of his of the circle in his own zone with guys coming off the Oilers' bench with speed.
Sure.
And that was just a bad mistake.
Yeah. Jets, to their credit, again, bounce back. It's only it's 2 minutes and 22 seconds later. Tyler Myers gets his fifth of the year, his first as a Winnipeg Jets player, his first in front of the home crowd here at MTS Center. Assist to Toby Enstrom and Chris Thorburn. This starts with Chris Thorburn winning the faceoff.
Winning the faceoff? You got on a couple of big faceoffs today, I thought. And set play, I mean, this is a play you're going to see all the time, right? Thorburn to Enstrom. And Enstrom is playing on his off wing there, which offside, which is not what he usually plays.
Sure.
So it's only a faceoff setup. You got Thorburn. Face-off win to Enstrom on his offside. An offside, he doesn't have to pick it off of off his backhand, which makes it a seamless pass to pick it off his backhand in terms of the setup. You know what I mean? And he makes a seamless pass over to Myers, who has it on his off wing, and it's him that's the easier play because what happens with Enstrom, I don't know if Enstrom used forehand or went quickly backhand forehand, but in any event, the puck goes to Myers in a one-timer position. He just lets a howitzer go.
Yeah.
If you're Edmonton, you might want fast to have that because there was no screen, but you're talking nice puck movement on a set play and a guy with a big-time slap shot.
Sure. Set play we've seen before between Enstrom and Byfuglien and Pass when they used to be paired together, and it's 3-3 at that point in time.
Little details there, though, right, Drew? Because you got Thorburn on the right side on a strong side face, so if you got Enstrom and Myers switching sides on that place. If you don't have Enstrom and Meyer switching sides there, and you don't have Thorburn on a strong side, maybe that goal doesn't happen. So that's a good coaching move by Maurice and his staff.
Oilers make it 4-3 at the 15-14 mark of the third period. It's another power play goal. It's Niall Yakupov's eighth on the season, second of the night, assist to Benoit Poulion, and Pekka Rinne, who I'm not familiar with, to be honest. Eero Pekka Rinne, an Oilers forward that speaks to the team that the Oilers have.
I don't know much about Pekka Rinne, but he blows by Tyler Myers here.
Yeah.
And he creates the initial rush.
It's on the power play.
And what happens is you got Pouliot in the left corner here, and you got Trouba and Myers playing together here. And Pouliot makes a big-time NHL pass. Like he floats a saucer over Trouba and Myers' stick. Right to Yakupov on his off-wing one-timer goal. Beauty. Like, I mean, Yakupov has a great release. Myers has to close the gap there, though. Myers has to know who his guy is after getting blown by, and he's got to be able to close the gap with his sticks, with his wingspan, as they talk about. That goal can't happen there. And not much of a chance for Hutchinson, who wasn't overly sharp tonight, although the chances were pretty good. And if Pavlik wasn't there, people would be going crazy. But again, you know, you're leaving on an island there with that pass. You're leaving on an island with the Nugent-Hopkins and with Yakupov. And so the chances weren't easy.
Eight goals given up in the last two games for Michael Hutchinson.
Yeah, I mean.
And again, no one's going to talk about it because the Jets won both those games.
They did. And you know what? Hutchinson, again, all season's been very good. And Pavlik's been solid. Again, I know people hate Andre Pavlik, but he's been solid. So we'll see what they go with next game. But Palmer seemed to indicate in the media that Hutchinson may be the guy going forward, which I think makes sense right now.
Yeah.
But if he continues to struggle like this, though, that's not going to last too long.
I should mention Drew Stafford left the game early in the third period with an upper body injury. Paul Maurice, in meeting with the media post-game, said that both players will be reevaluated tomorrow, and there will be an update probably coming tomorrow. Obviously, both are injured with something. We'll find out.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, they never tell you anything anyways.
I know.
So you get the fourth goal here, right?
And 4-3 Edmonton with less than 5 to play.
Yeah, you got 5 to play. And you got Blake Wheeler coming up. And Blake Wheeler, that top line just puts it on when they have to, eh? Like, I mean, you know, you broke them up for kind of a period or two. Wheeler, Ladd, Little just getting clutch when it matters most. But the thing that makes, you know, you have Ladd going, you have on this play is you have Wheeler going up the ice.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a 2-on-4. If you want to go on the tape, so Todd Nelson pulls up the tape on the plane ride home to Edmonton, I believe, tonight.
And this is the end of their six-game road trip.
And he looks at it and he goes, okay, we're up 4-3. And
42 seconds later.
Yeah, it's less than 5 minutes left in the game, okay? 4-3. Blake Wheeler comes up the ice. We have numbers. We have two offensive guys, Wheeler and Ladd, on four guys. Four Oilers, four white jerseys. Wheeler comes almost head down from the right to the middle. Eberle, nobody even touches the guy. I mean, you go up against Regier and whoever and Kopitar in L.A., and you're getting annihilated. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be done. And that's the thing. Is like, give Wheeler credit because he knows they're not going to touch him. And he takes advantage of that. Wheeler comes in, draws attention to himself, and then and there you go. I mean, rebound, go by Ladd. He puts the puck on net. Four guys go at Wheeler, but don't do anything. Nobody covers Ladd. I mean, you have Mark Fain and Andrew Ferentz. Who knows what they're doing? They both lose Ladd, cutting across the middle. Clutch response by the Jets. Love that from the top line. But, I mean, Edmonton, I mean, you've got the tape. He might just take open the window on the plane. That's not possible. And fire the disc out and never see it again.
Well, yeah, it's funny because Jets coach Paul Maurice might do the same thing.
Yeah.
Looking or using it as motivation for when the Jets.
Don't do it on the plane. It's bad. Yeah. When you get off the plane, take it. Just put it in the garbage.
You're an aeronautical engineer? You sure about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anyways, it's 4-all at that point in time. The game heads into...
We're getting photobombed
here,
We're getting photobombed
by Ezzy here. Game heads into overtime where both sides had some pretty decent chances.
Yeah, it's overtime. I mean, 4-on-4, nothing happened.
Yeah.
And Schultz had a good chance. And there's going to be... Buffalo had a great chance. And, I mean, that's 4-on-4, right?
Yeah.
You got your shootout.
Blake Wheeler shoots first for the Jets.
Wheeler dekes Victor Fask, not only out of his jockstrap, maybe out of his groin, because it looks like he tore his groin.
Blake Wheeler with a fantastic goal, demonstrating fantastic hands in close. Victor Fast, I'm not laughing, but is injured on the play and skates right off the bench. I mean, he's hobbled. He goes right to the dressing room, and for the second and third shooters for the Jets, it's Richard Backman, who hasn't played a minute of the game tonight. So, bizarre situation here. Hutchinson perfect in the shootout, 14 for 14 now.
Oh, he's been. I mean, Hutchinson in the shootout has been incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Which is actually funny, because, you know, one of Andrei Pavlik's weaknesses is sort of the shootout. So, you might want to see, you know.
You never know, right?
Never know.
But overall, Jets get their 2 points. Don't get their ROW, regulation overtime win, but in the battle that they have right now, and Calgary's kind of come 3-2 now, Boston-Calgary, and if you listen to this podcast, you might hear it after those scores are done. But you get your 2 points, and you worry about the regulation overtime stuff later. And I know, I mean,
you needed 2 points tonight.
It is what it is. You get your 2 points.
You prefer to do it in 60 minutes or 65 minutes at least.
They keep getting their, you know, if they keep getting their points, Drew, it sounds obvious, it's obvious, to keep getting their points, they're not going to have an issue with that ROW.
No. Well, you know what? You look at what Minnesota's done in the last, you know, 13, 14 games. I think they're, 10-1-2, something like that.
Yeah.
And they've gained, 1 point on the Jets?
Yeah, I don't know how many it is.
It's
but not
it's
a more than that, right?
It might be more than that. But, you know, it may be 3 points. And in any event, you know, they're going at a pretty impressive clip, and they still can't.
It's amazing how bad Edmonton is. I mean, that you got to be hard. You got to try to be that bad.
Yeah.
I know they don't have Hall. There's some injuries.
Taylor Hall's not making a difference. I mean, the most egregious goal there
like
is that tying goal.
I mean, I don't know how you watch the tape after that.
You know, it's beyond soft. In terms of time on ice for the Jets, I mean, as we mentioned, they're down to 10 forwards for the course of the game here. So Andrew Ladd plays 24-14. Dustin Byfuglien leads all defensemen with 25-38 on the back end. Jets next in action Thursday night, as they head to Washington to play the Capitals for the first time this season. Reminder, Wednesday night, NHL midweek on TSN 1290. We'll talk about this game. We'll talk about the game against the Capitals on Thursday night. For Michael Remus and analyst Richard Pollock, for Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg doing work in the Jets and the Oilers dressing room, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.